Welcome back to the Mind Castle. And this episode is a bit odd.
Yes.
But I think you know the answer to this question. Why is the number 4,000 really important? One of the most important numbers in the world.
4,000.
4,000.
Should I tell them or should we just like pause it there and tease it for a little longer?
So the number 4,000, so actually truly and really, I think could change your life. Yes. And if you were in my office right now and looking across to the opposite wall, you'll see a large chart with 4,000 boxes on it. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, 4,000, the reason why it's so significant is because 4,000 is the number of weeks you will be alive. That is assuming you live to 90. Whoa. So if you start at zero, live to 90, there's 52 weeks in a year, do the math, it comes out roughly to 4,000 weeks. Or if you want to get even more morbid, I'm going to have to actually figure this up. You can figure out how many days you'll be alive. Whoa. So if you are alive for 90 years.
Easy.
That would be around 30,000 days.
30,000?
30,000.
Woo.
So when you
make
actually,
$1 a day.
Yeah, exactly. If you actually break these things down, it's kind of stunning how short life can feel. 4,000 weeks is not that long. Like if you go to college for 4 years, you know, start doing the math, that's actually like proportionately, you can start checking boxes off the list. Like I literally have a chart with the boxes there where each line is 1 year and each, you know, level down and it's charted out and you can like check the boxes off. And it, you know, I look at that chart and I'm like, whoa, I'm a third of the way through the chart already. You know, it, you start realizing life is not infinite. And yeah, in some ways life is really long, but in other ways, 4,000 weeks is not that much and you should spend it wisely is kind of the whole premise here. So that is a bit of a launch pad for this podcast and perhaps the next episode as well on this concept of time and responsibility and how do we think about time, which is something we don't talk about very often as humans. I think it's because we're a little scared of the whole thing of like,
yeah,
our lives are finite, you know. At the same time, it's really important to consider that time does not slow down or stop for you. It is an inevitable river, I think, as Marcus Aurelius says, that will flow ever on. And the memories of those before are just another, you know, ripple in the stream. I think it's something like that. I'm reading Marcus Aurelius right now, which is kind of a weird book, by the way. Not sure I recommend. But anyways, the point being, Austin just mentioned before we turn the mics on that he's done something that most people his age has not done. Could
YouTube
you walk
video
us through
inbound.
It? Yeah, there's going to be a YouTube video about this. But yeah, I'd break it down because it was news to me as well.
What? It was news to you that I did it or the thing that I did?
Yeah, it was news that you did it. So okay. Hit me up. What happened?
Hold on. Let me turn on my second brain here. Got to find my notes. All right. Yeah, so I did something a little strange. Probably most people my age don't do. I wrote my eulogy. So, yeah, I didn't know what eulogy was until I was reading this book. So I'll explain for those of you who were ignorant like myself. A eulogy is like the speech that the people that cared about you most say at your funeral, if I'm understanding it correctly. So, yeah, I sat down and wrote it out because I am reading this book called Living Forward, which is a great little book. And one of the things that it talks about is living life with an intention and creating like a life plan, as it were, or at least like not so that that's like, you know, exactly how your life is going to go, but something that you can at least shoot for. The first place that you start is at the end. Define where you want to be and then work backwards from there. I mean, if you're going to go on a vacation, you probably figure out where you're ending up first, and then you define everything else on how to get there. I mean, that'd be really complicated otherwise. The exercise that I did, I'll just kind of walk y'all through it really quickly in case you're curious on trying it, because I definitely think more people should do this, especially my age. So the first thing you do is identify key relationships. So these are the people that you hope will be at your funeral. And this is ideally, and this is also, you could either place it like tomorrow or you could place it like in the future. So it could be people like that aren't in my life yet, like children, spouse, you know, things like that. So identify those key relationships and then describe how I want to be remembered by each group. Then I just went through, listed the group of people family, friends, you know, I kind of broke it up into subgroups and stuff and was just like, okay, realistically, what would I want them to say about me? And it was a little bit difficult to not like to get started is a little bit difficult because it's like, you're thinking about yourself through someone else's eyes and you're like, okay, this is probably what they see now, but what about then? It was a little bit difficult. Anyway, so one of the things I did is I would just start with like, as if I was actually writing their speech, like, you know, say like Austin was, and then fill in the blank. And then like, just kind of write it out from there. For those of you believing that this is very cynical and egotistical and stuff, it's really not, because the purpose of this is to clarify and show you like what actually matters in your life. Like at the end of it, when it's all said and done, what do you want to be remembered for? Like what is truly most important to you? And you'll very, very quickly figure out what that is. And so that's why I did it, because that showed me, okay, where do I want to end up? Or at least it gave me a really, really close picture. And then I could work backwards from there. So that's kind of the exercise I did. That's kind of what the process was. I don't know if you have any questions or anything. I mean, I think you did it too, mm-hmm. probably a while back, but it was really good for me.
So for some context, it's the book that I've given away the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it's called Living Forward by Michael Hyatt. Mm-hmm. Short little book. Get it in paper copy. Don't get it on audio or something.
Yeah.
Because there's like charts and fill in the blank type. It's like a book to be engaged with. And my wife and I read it on sabbatical last year. And it was just, it was really good. It makes you, it's that concept we mentioned last episode about begin with the end in mind. One of the habits from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People,
right?
Stephen Covey. That is monumentally important because if you don't have a finish line in mind, like maybe you're going a direction with life that you don't even want to go. Like, I will say, if you get that book or something equivalent, read through it and then spend a day in nature or at a coffee shop or whatever, trying to build out that life plan. Like, where do I want to end up? Where am I going to spend these 4,000 weeks? Because these 4,000 weeks are going to happen in your life, whether you like chart out how you're going to use them or not. Like, right. They will just happen. Mm-hmm. A week can go by like that. Yeah. And you're like, what did I do again? Like, did that actually help me move my life in the direction I want to go? Like, well, mm-hmm. you don't even know if you don't actually sit down and chart this stuff out. I don't think I can stress enough how important that is. So get the book or something like it. Do this exercise. It's really important. So anyway, that's a bit of context, what you're referring to there. But,
yes.
So some of this was inspired by another book that is actually called 4,000 Weeks. It just came out this year, I think. I'm not sure if I can highly recommend it. There was some interesting stuff in there. But it's a bit of a battle cry, revolt against against the world of productivity. And hear us out, because this podcast has a lot to do about things like productivity. But the point with productivity is it's a bit scammy in that if you read a lot of these books, especially the B grade ones or whatever, they make it sound like, well, if you just use this time management hack, you will be able to get everything done that you want to get done and it'll all be great. And it's like, no, you won't, because your life isn't infinite. Like there are limits. You cannot possibly get done everything you would like to do. I mean, there are so many things. In another life, I would love to be a brain surgeon. In another life, I'd love to be an astronaut. Doesn't matter how productive I'll be, I'll never be able to do those things in addition to the things I'm doing right now that I really want to do. So like, it's kind of scammy, and it gives us this wrong mindset. And that book is kind of a revolt about that and says, essentially, we will never ever get everything done since we are limited by our time on Earth and there is never enough time. Our entire lives are spent trying to battle the inevitable. We're consumed by our finiteness. Therefore, we cannot bear to be bored, because we're like, we don't want to be bored because we're so finite. And that's also one of the reasons we procrastinate, by the way. Newsflash.
Interesting.
Because when we procrastinate, it gives us a sense that we control the time.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's totally a psychological, and there's other reasons too, but that's a really key thing. So the truth is, there will never be enough time to do all the things you want to do. There will, like people say, oh, I wish I would have more time to spend with my family. Yeah, like we all would like that. Like, obviously manage it as best you possibly can, but like there will always be those limitations.
Yeah.
Like you only have a certain amount of time, and that's just do the best you can. But you know, like for me, oh my, like I would love to go get my EMT license. You know, like I want to go get my scuba license. I have been wanting to do that for years, mm-hmm. like really wanted to do that. Will I ever have enough time in life to actually do it? I kind of had to lay that one down. Like scuba was like pretty high on my list. And you know what? I don't think I'm going to do it. It will be a long time till I actually do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to be okay with that. So the problem with, again, we did a whole podcast on this, on hustle culture, or what I call it toxic productivity, the side of productivity that's not healthy. And that's this idea that, do you really want to spend your entire life hustling, mm-hmm. just trying to get more done, being super productive and filling every minute with, you know, super productive activities? Not really. Like, that's not the point.
Right.
The point of productivity is so that you get things done efficiently so that you have time for the things that matter.
Right.
And that, again, is where that whole field is kind of scammy. And again, this other book that we were talking about, the 4,000 Weeks book, is again kind of this revolt against that. And I think it was good. I think that's well placed to acknowledge that. We're finite humans, mm-hmm. you know, and it's okay. Like, the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we can actually dig in, you know, deeply about what these things mean. Okay, so I propose, instead of filling our lives with as much productivity as possible, which is not all bad, by the way.
Right.
Instead, we fill our lives with meaning. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? Things like being present here and now, spending time with your family, slowing down enough to actually enjoy a sunset without feeling that you have to quick post it on Instagram to build your personal brand and yes. turn it into a vlog so that you can sell it. And like, no, just enjoy the sunset. Even better, share the sunset with someone else. Like, that's something that when we have guests over, like we have this special spot up in the mountains that we never go unless we have people here like to visit us. And then we'll take them up there and watch the beautiful sunset, share it with someone. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of made a point now, I won't take pictures of it anymore. Because it's like, we're just here. Like, we're just enjoying a sunset. Like, that's okay. It doesn't need to go on Instagram, you know? And it actually took me a while to get to that. Basically, to reiterate, no matter how many productivity hacks you find on the internet, no matter how many self-help books you read, you will never win against the tides of time.
Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, it's just, that's just the way it is. Instead, first of all, come to grips with that reality, which is kind of sad, but it's true. Instead, then, focus on the things that really matter, the things that do last, like the meaningful things in life. And again, that's kind of the whole point of productivity, is not that we can just be busy all the time, but so that we have the time for the things that really matter. Mm-hmm. What is the point of being so productive that you never have time to have a picnic? You know, picnics, by the way, are just...
They're pretty great.
They're pretty great. Yeah. Or you're so busy, you never have time to grab lunch with a friend. Like, yeah. I know people like that.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel, it just hurts inside to see that they're living like that. Like, you don't even have time to go grab lunch with a friend.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, that's mm-hmm. so sad.
Yeah.
It's so tragic. I guess the whole point of this podcast is, remember the number 4,000 weeks.
Yeah.
30,000 days. Keep that in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Think about where you're going to end up. Maybe you should do like Austin did and get the book Living Forward and write a eulogy.
Definitely.
I would recommend doing that if we went through that. Take that time to actually live a life of joy mm-hmm. and a life of meaning, and take the time to help someone, to share what you have with others, to spread joy, to deepen relationships. What's the point of having something if you can't even share it with people because you're so busy making money or mm-hmm. whatever it might be? And again, there's nothing wrong with being busy and making a good living. Of course not. But you only have 4,000 weeks.
Yeah. Spend it wisely.
Spend them well. Make the most of it. And life is too short not to be generous, gracious, curious, and joyful.
Yeah.
Just to kind of close it with a story that, just really stuck with me. So we've just gone back from a trip to Italy, right? And if you've ever been to Europe, the first thing you notice when you come back to the States that makes you be like, yo, we in the United States of America, is you go to a coffee shop and buy a coffee. I kind of started doing this, actually, because over there, their coffees, I wish y'all could see, but they're about that big. Like, Italy, they're really,
two
really
swallows.
They're like, literally like a swallow or two. As a friend of mine said, man, it'd sure be nice to have some coffee that you could drink in more than one sip, you know? And that's just kind of the culture. You come back to America, we're a consumer-based culture. And so you order a cup of coffee, And it comes out like the size of it. I mean, it was cute. It was a, I ordered the smallest one they had and it was like this big. It was, you know, typical like large American coffee. And it was at Einstein Bros. And I'm like, all right, I am definitely back in America. Fast food in the airport. This is great. It's good to be back. And so I gave myself a, you know, a sandwich and a coffee, and they were like the best customer service I've ever had. It was amazing. I'm back home, right? And we're kind of laughing and shooting the bull because they didn't have any. I was the only one there. And they said something that just really stuck with me. They said, you would be amazed how many people are rude and don't have time for you. And they show up to order their bagel and coffee and they're just like, man, I don't have time. Like, come on. Like, this stupid machine doesn't work because you have to order like on a kiosk now. And some people just hate that. And like, well, you come over here and put in the order on the kiosk for me because and they said, you'd be amazed how rude people are. And you could tell it kind of hurt them, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're just like, thanks for like being nice. I was like, are you serious? Like, people are rude to you guys? Like, I said, man, like, life is too short to be rude.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, yeah, you are so right. That is just why, like, why are people like that? And that just kind of really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Like, the tragedy of living a life where you're so busy that you go to a fast food joint and get mad at the person making you food and are rude to them. At an airport, like, I cannot, wow, the audacity and egotistical mindset that would have to be behind that is so sad. It's so sad. And those people probably don't even think about it because they're just like, I'm an important businessman and these are just lowly minimum wage workers that are here to serve my every whim. And like, they're not fast enough because it took 2 minutes and it should have took a minute and 30 seconds and I got a flight to catch. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow, that's so sad. And if those people could just step back a little and be like, look, you're going to have one interaction with that person. Like, what's the impression you're going to leave on them?
Yeah.
Your life isn't infinite. Like, it is too short. Your life is too short to be rude. Please don't be like that. Please don't be that way. And I don't know. It just really stuck with me. And they were great. Like, they were like literally the nicest service I've ever had at a fast food restaurant. And there were people that would be rude to those kinds of people. Like, if they're rude to those kinds of people, like, wow.
Don't work with them. That's for sure.
How would they be to their enemies? Goodness. Anyways, not to pontificate too long about Einstein Bros and American fast food, but it just is, and that some of that comes back to the American culture is very consumer driven and it's all about stuff, you know? And like, well, what about if it's all about people? You know, maybe that's more important.
Like
sometimes.
The meaning that we, like, life has meaning, not just like for us, not just what we do and all that. Like, yeah, I was thinking about that some actually, because I'm trying to make a video, not trying, I am making a video today actually, about hustle culture and kind of my relationship with it. One of the points that I make is hustle culture simplifies the world way too much. Like, okay, this whole like effort, hard, like, all your effort, like 101% of your effort equals results, which equal success. Therefore, effort equals success. And that's what gets preached over and over and over. And it's like, no, like, that's actually not how it works.
Like, what's success in that equation?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so arbitrary. Like, okay, I know a guy that made 1,000 daily vlogs. And he didn't have more than 100 subscribers. He did not get success. And he put
1,000.
A thousand.
Wow. That's like 2.5 years.
And it failed completely, flat on its face. Did not go anywhere. And so you cannot just simplify the equation of success down to effort and hard work. And that's exactly what we're saying here with productivity is like you cannot boil meaning in life and happiness and success and everything down to just cramming everything into your work. And cramming it into this window of time. Like, there is so much more that simplifies the world too much. And that's one thing you brought out in the book is he's like, he was all into this, like, got to get everything done, got to be really, really efficient. And that's great. But he was trying to use that as a way of simplifying everything into that equation. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work that way. And we have to step back and look at that and realize there's a whole lot more that matters than what we're trying to just shove out the window right now. Mm. People would do better to realize that, you know, yeah, like we've been saying this whole podcast, life is finite. We're going to die. That's okay. Like, let's use that to our advantage.
So, oh man, y'all should go back and listen to our episode on hustle culture.
It was great.
Dove in. Actually, it's one of our most listened to episodes.
Really?
I think it really resonated with people.
That's
because
awesome.
Hustle culture, you know, Gary Vee or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, they're like, hey, you got to get up like really early and just like, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, these guys are just like, go for it. And it's coming from people that are very successful. So it's like,
yeah.
I want to be successful like The Rock or what, you know, big movie star or whatever. And I want to be successful like that, you know? So if I work like him, then maybe that will happen. And maybe it will.
Yeah.
But is that the point? Like,
right.
Do you actually want that? Like, I don't want that guy's life. Like, I don't, you know? And people, it's almost like idol worship. It's also, hustle culture is just another way of saying workaholism.
Yeah.
Which is
it's so self-focused.
Yeah. It's
like,
really sad.
Really like, this is one thing I'm going to cover in the video, but like I gained so much level of significance and importance because I felt like I deserved it because I was working hard. So then I couldn't stop working hard because then I wouldn't be significant and important to people. Yeah. And so this creates this endless cycle. And like, if I would have succeeded, I would have attributed it to hustling. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't. So I was like, oh, great.
And this is not to say that hard work is bad. No, it's not bad.
No, that's like, not the problem at all.
You know, if you're going to do something, man, give it 100%. Like, give good effort and do a good job. Of course. But that's not your life identity.
Yeah, that's not. And that's not the only thing that matters. Like, yeah, we've been ranting on long enough, I think. But I think you get the point. 4,000 weeks. Super, super important. Remember that and think about it when you schedule out your month, your week, your day, because it's really important. Are you doing things that matter? Are you doing things that are taking you closer to what truly matters in your life? Write a eulogy, man. It's a good time.
Yeah. Otherwise, the weeks will slip through your fingers.
They really will.
Okay. So thank you all for listening to this episode. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
You can find us on the internet pretty much anywhere. But particularly, reach out to us on Twitter with your questions and thoughts, because we like Twitter. Even though Elon Musk bought it and it's kind of rocky as we record this, who knows what's going to happen to the platform and blah, 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 you know, if you read the news. Yeah, reach out to us on Twitter. Hit us up on our websites. We both have websites, austinschrock.com and reaganschrock.com. Yeah, what do you think of this? Pick up these books and read them. Let us know what your thoughts are. And next episode, we're going to dive a little deeper into this concept of the long now.
Ooh, yes.
And what is that? And how does it really segues into what we were talking about with time in this episode, but from a different angle. And then after that, we should tackle what does good productivity look like?
Oh, yes. That's a great idea.
See, that's really important. And I read an excellent book on productivity that really answered that for me, at least. I don't know if it would for anyway. And I have a whole bunch of notes on it, so we'll break it down. And also on a closing note, I remember the other thing I was going to say. One of the things I have appreciated though, you know, back in the day, hustle culture was a big thing on YouTube and, you know, all this thing. It's kind of gone out of favor now, but somewhere in there, I stumbled on Ali Abdaal's work, the doctor out of Cambridge. And initially, it was like all about productivity and getting stuff done is what it looked like to me. And then he started uploading like the occasional day in the life vlogs. And I was like, hold up, like this guy is a waste man too. Like as he says in his videos, he's like, I'm just a waste man. Like I'm lazy. Like that's why I try to be productive so that I can be more lazy. Like I sit around and play, you know, video games and watch Netflix like the next guy. And I make these videos because they're fun and I want to do it. And it helps me build good relationships and I'm having a blast doing it. And I was like, whoa, I'm expecting him to be like, I'm making these videos because I'm trying to build a business and get financially free and like make millions of dollars. No, I'm just having fun. I'm a doctor at Cambridge University. And I'm like, doing it on the side with my iPhone because it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just enjoy doing it. And that really got me started down the road of, okay, there is a way to be productive healthily and do it because it's fun. Yeah, you work hard, but like you also may just spend your Saturday doing a whole lot of nothing, you know? And that just kind of helped recalibrate me. Anyways, that was a little free anecdote at the end of the episode there. Thank you all for listening. Yeah, we'll catch you in the next episode.
Yep. See you later.